Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's 15 minutes past 10. Alhamdulillah. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. I'm your hostess, the Zinat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And you are listening to the program Socially Speaking. Well, alhamdulillah for this beautiful weather that we are experiencing this morning here in Gauteng. Of course, after the drastic weather conditions that both our coastal towns, Durban and Cape Town, were experiencing yesterday, you know, the high or the huge waves in Durban, and of course the the very strong winds in Cape Town. Allah Ta'ala protect us all and make it easy for all, inshallah. Okay, we commence this morning with Monday morning focus. Then, of course, it's the ideal Muslimah. Today we're going to be looking at the Muslim woman should follow etiquettes with regards to sneezing. And also, inshallah, a Muslim woman does not seek the divorce of another woman so that she can take her place. Very important. And also, it seems not so important, but I think it is of utmost importance that we know, especially where the sneezing is concerned, the reason, that why we do what we do when we're sneezing, or we say what we say when we're sneezing, alhamdulillah. Also with regards to divorce, which is happening so much in our communities these days, it's just some advice for our listeners out there, for ourselves first, of course, and of course for our listeners out there, inshallah. That will be followed by the art of advising, and it's called, the topic is called Make Your Tongue Sweet. So, again, I'm going to be talking, alhamdulillah, about, just the art of giving advice, and in it I'll be sharing many examples of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of his companions, just stories of them, and also about the old elders and the way they used to advise people and how they used to get the best out of people by doing it that way. And I think once again, just some advice all round, inshallah. Okay, let's start off with Monday morning focus, alhamdulillah. Now, it is no secret to the Muslim woman that just as Islam has defined the manners governing the act of yawning in gatherings, and we did that last week, we spoke all about, the etiquette of yawning, it also has defined the etiquette to be observed when one sneezes. Now, Islam teaches the Muslim, both men and women, how they should behave when they sneeze and what they should say to the one who sneezes and how they should pray for him or her. So, yawning, as we all know, and I mentioned it last week in the program when we spoke about it, is from Shaitan. But you will, as we go along, you will understand that sneezing is completely different. Actually, Allah loves sneezing, but of course, it has to be done the right way. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah likes the act of sneezing and He dislikes the act of yawning. When any one of you sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah, which we are taught to say, and we comment, it's just part of, if you sneeze, that's the first thing we say, Alhamdulillah. Now, when you say Alhamdulillah, he has the right to hear every Muslim say, Yarhamukullah. So it becomes his right to hear the person next to him, or whoever has heard him sneeze, if he had said Alhamdulillah for the person next to him, or anyone around him listening to him sneeze, and listening to him say Alhamdulillah, say Yarhamukallah. But yawning, of course, is from the Shaitan. So if any of you feels the urge to yawn, he should resist it as much as possible, as much as he can. For when any of you yawns, the Shaitan laughs at him. Or, and also in last week's program we spoke about, when you don't cover your mouth, obviously when you are yawning, that it is the way in for Shaitan. So the Shaitan enters through the mouth. Okay, so this is important for us to remember, that when you sneeze, you need to say Alhamdulillah, and when whoever stands around you, it becomes a right on the person for you to answer him back. And what is that answer? You say, Yarhamukullah. Now, this simple reflex action does not occur in the Muslim's life without being regulated by certain manners which make the Muslims feel in the depths of their heart, deep inside of us, that this religion came to reform all issues in our lives, in this life, great and small alike. So even if we think sneezing is just a little thing, it is an important thing. And to give them certain words to say which would constantly connect humanity to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. So just sneezing also connects us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when a Muslim woman sneezes, of course this is for men too, but I'm particularly talking to our Muslim women out there. Remember, we are the mothers of our children and we are supposed to be teaching them all this. So if we know about it, then we will understand and we can explain to our children why we do what we do and why we tell them to what to do. You know, the reason behind why whatever we tell them to do, alhamdulillah. So when a Muslim woman sneezes, she should say alhamdulillah. What does that mean? All praise be to Allah. So okay, we say alhamdulillah, and the one who hears her should say yarhamukallah. Then she must respond to her sister's dua by saying yahdikumullah, may Allah guide you. This is the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam according to the hadith narrated by Bukhari. So if you say alhamdulillah, if you sneeze and you say alhamdulillah, the person around you or the persons around you should say yarhamukallah. And then you also need to respond. Now you, once you say alhamdulillah, the person around you say yarhamukallah, then you that have sneezed must reply by saying yahdikumullah. Okay, so here's a hadith narrated by Bukhari. It says, when any one of you sneezes, let him say alhamdulillah, and let his brother or companions say yarhamukullah, may Allah have mercy on you. And if he says yarhamukullah, let the first one, that is the one that have sneezed, say yahdikumullah. So what does that mean? This dua or this supplication, it's now a dua. It becomes a dua. Yarhamukullah is said to the one who sneezes in response to his or her saying alhamdulillah. If he or she does not say alhamdulillah, then there is no obligation to respond in this way. So if somebody says sneezes and doesn't say anything, then you don't have to respond. The companion Abu Musa Ash-Shari narrated that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, when any of you sneezes and praises Allah, then respond to him by saying yarhamukallah. But if he does not praise Allah, then do not respond to him. So it you know, it's like a duty on you. When you sneeze, you need to say alhamdulillah. You are praising Allah. But if you don't say it, and there's people around you and you don't say it, then they don't respond to you. But if you say it, then the people around you need to respond. It becomes a right for that person. Anas radiallahu anhu said that two men sneezed in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he responded to the one of them, to the one of them, and not to the other. The one to whom he did not respond then said, so and so sneezed and you responded. I sneezed and you did not respond. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, he praised Allah, but you did not. So you only answer the person that makes the dua after he sneezes. Now, when we discuss these words which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged, the Muslims say, when someone sneezes, highlights their ultimate aim, which is to mention and praise Allah and to strengthen the ties of brotherhood and friendship among all Muslim men and women. The one who sneezes praises Allah for relief from some sensitivity or irritation which he had perhaps in his nose, and the one who hears him praising Allah prays for mercy for him, because the one who praises Allah deserves mercy. So here, remember, if you are sneezing, it's probably because of some irritation that you are experiencing in your nose. But what do? We praise Allah for it. We don't get irritated and say nothing about it, or, you know, get angry about it. But what do as Muslims? We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And then the person that hears him praise Allah ta'ala will obviously pray for his mercy then. Because the one who praises Allah deserves mercy. The one who sneezes then responds with a longer and a more comprehensive dua, which is full of meaning of goodness, love and friendship. So what, just this one act of sneezing becomes an ibadat if you follow the correct procedure. Alhamdulillah. Islam takes these involuntary actions of Muslims and makes them into opportunities for remembering and praising Allah and reinforcing the feelings of brotherhood and sisterhood, love and compassion in their hearts. Another of the good manners to be observed when sneezing is to place one's hand over one's mouth and to make as little noise as possible. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that when the Messenger of Allah sneezed, he used to place his hand or part of his garment over his mouth and thus reduce the noise he made. So when we are sneezing, we should try and cover our mouth, or, you know, with your hand if possible, and if not possible, even take a cloth, or many of us would just take our scarf and just put it over our mouth, or, you know, something. But the whole idea is to lessen the noise, not to make such a big noise. Yet we find some people, unfortunately, when they sneeze and they give such a loud sneeze, you know, that is not the way we as Muslims should be doing it. So remember that. The well-mannered Muslim woman who is aware of Islamic etiquette does not forget, in such situations where a person may be taken by surprise, to conduct herself in the manner prescribed by the Prophet ﷺ and to use the same words that he is reported to have used when he sneezed. This is the etiquette to be observed in obedience to the words of the Prophet ﷺ whenever she or another person sneezes, or in response to a sister who blesses her, saying Yarhamukallah when she sneezes. So yes, this is the etiquette of sneezing, and as Muslim women, very important for us to remember. So I'm just going to quickly recap. I don't think I'm going to continue with the second one. We'll do that inshallah. The next point we'll discuss in our next program next week. But just a quick recap is that when somebody sneezes, they need to say Alhamdulillah, and that is all praises to Allah. You are praising Allah for that. A person standing next to him or people standing next to him should respond by saying Yarhamukallah, may Allah may Allah have mercy on you. And the person that has sneezed, when he hears this, must say Yahdikumullah. The one that sneezed, of course, must say that, and that means may Allah guide you. So that is a dua that we make when somebody sneezes. And remember, Allah loves this act. Now, the meaning of these simple actions or these simple duas, what does it do? It spreads love. It spreads goodness and friendship and compassion in hearts of believers for each other. And another good habit that we must remember, when one sneezes, is to always place one's hand over one's mouth and also to try and make as little noise as possible. Your hand, your scarf, anything, but just, you know, cover your mouth when you are sneezing. And also health-wise, it's important for you to do that, because sneezing, you are spreading, if you have the cold or the flu, that's when you are going to be spreading the germs. So we need to be very careful with regards to that. Actually that's all we can do for today, inshallah. In next week's program, then we'll continue with the next point about a Muslim woman that does not seek the divorce of another woman so that she can take her place. So that will be done inshallah next week. Right, so we take a break. When we return, inshallah, we're going to be looking at the art of advising. And inshallah, what this is all about is just some, you know, just sharing with you some many of the examples of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of his companions, and also that of the elders and the art, you know, the way they used to advise people and how they would get the best out of people by the way they would do their advising and counseling, inshallah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, Socially Speaking. Unfortunately, Mulana Mohammed Vinka is not available this week because he's somewhere in the UK on lecture tour. So, inshallah, maybe next week or the week after that, he'll be available again, inshallah. Well, today we're going to be talking about making your tongue sweet. Now, it's all in this program, inshallah. I hope to share with you many examples of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some of his companions, also that of the elders on the art of advising and correcting people's mistakes. You know, the way to do it, inshallah. Okay, now, there are always moments in our lives when we must advise and counsel others. Anybody for that matter, you know, you sometime or the other in your life, you need to do this, almost sometimes on a daily basis. And I think as parents, we do sometimes overdo it, I'm not sure. Sometimes we do too little of it, but the fact of the matter is that we always advise people, and either you do it willingly, you doing it out of concern, or you are asked to advise somebody. But the fact is, like we say, that you are constantly advising people. One often advises our children, our sons, our daughters. We'll advise our husbands, our wives for that matter, friends, neighbors, parents, colleagues, anybody. We're forever out there advising. Even strangers sometimes you end up advising. It is said that the end result of the advice usually depends on its beginning. Now, what does this mean? Now, it means if the advice is given in an appropriate manner with tenderness from the beginning, that is lovingly and in a nice way from the beginning, the end result is often the same. But if it is given harshly, callously, the end result will be similar. So this is something very important that we should remember. It's, you know, how you start your advice, and in your facial expressions plays a very important role. I'm just telling you what I've understood from what I've little research that I've done. Your body language plays a very important role, and of course the way you talk to the person from the beginning. So it just depends. The beginning, well, the how you start off is how it will actually be taken at the end of the advice. Now, when we are advising people, we are actually dealing with their hearts and not their bodies. And sometimes we tend to forget that people's feelings are involved. So basically, when you are advising people, we are actually advising them and we are dealing with them with their hearts rather, and not with their bodies. And this is why children often take their mother's advice but not their father's. It works two ways also, or vice versa, and students tend to accept one teacher's advice but not the others. So it just depends on the way that you advise people. Now, the very first skill one should use while giving advice is not to do it excessively and pick on every fault, big or small, so that others do not feel that you are constantly watching every move. Otherwise, they would see you as cumbersome, or you are a troublemaker, or you are just troubling me kind of thing. So that very first skill is to do when giving advice is not to do it excessively. Unfortunately, some of us have this habit of constantly giving advice, and people, you know, at some stage get tired of it, and then they don't even listen to you anymore. So it's important for you to, you know, give advice, but don't make it a continuous thing. Okay. They say the leader of a people is not the one who is foolish. The leader of a people is the one who pretends to be foolish. So if you can present your advice as a suggestion instead, then you should do so. For example, now here starts the examples. Your wife, and this is such a simple example, but it's something that we can learn from. Your wife brings you dinner, and you know that she has piously prepared this dinner for you, and unfortunately it happens to be very salty. So what do we normally do? There's too much, you know. We just start shouting. Even children would do it. What did you put in the food? If it's perhaps too strong, that's another thing where children also, husbands, you know, family members would start just shouting, and I don't want this food. What kind of meal is this? You know, you just get angry. You shouldn't be doing this. Did you empty the whole bucket of salt in the food? You know, rather you should say, this is just an example, listeners. If you were to have, put a little less amount of salt, the food would have been tasting better. The food is nice, but I think there's a little bit too much salt. Maybe if you just add a little less, it would have tasted nicer. Now, won't the person feel good? I mean, if you just go there and you put too much salt in the food, you know, already the person feels so bad. Oh my, the whole meal is spoiled. Can you imagine how the wife feels when the mother feels when she's putting this lovely dish and, you know, all they do is shout at her and scream at her and everything else. But, you know, it's just the way you say things that will make her feel better instead of feeling worse. Similarly, if you notice your son perhaps wearing dirty clothes, then advise him as if you are making a suggestion, because people do not like to be ordered around. Say to him instead, you know, how nice would it be if you would perhaps wear better clothes, or perhaps wear, you know, something that would match that. Or, you know, just make him feel better. Just suggest something differently so that he doesn't feel bad. So, you know, instead of telling him, just get to the bathroom or get to the room and change those clothes. They're dirty. Can't you see they're dirty? You know, instead of just making him feel bad, just do it. Suggest something different. For example, if a student comes late to school, there's another example. Instead of the principal and the teachers waiting outside and waiting for that child to walk in and start screaming at him, you know, try a different approach, perhaps. Maybe you tell him, how about if you do this, or you know, just come up with some different some alternative to make him want to come earlier. For example, you're late every day and you have to rush like that. Why don't you try and come a little earlier? Then you don't have to rush like this. You know, you won't be tired, you won't be exhausted. You can sit down quietly, you know, just go relax. You don't have to be so tired. So if you come in a little earlier, maybe inshallah it will be better for you. You know, just make it, suggest something to them. Now this approach is much better than for you to say you have no manners. How many times have I told you, but you never understand? How much longer do you want me to keep telling you? You know, all these things. So, and also another thing is never to embarrass someone in front of others. You know, sometimes we think the children don't feel anything, but they really do feel it. Never. I think this is one rule that we as parents should understand, and elders also, teachers also. If you need to reprimand somebody or if to tell them something, don't embarrass them in front of in front of their friends or anybody, even colleagues for that matter. Never embarrass employees in front of their colleagues. Even that can hurt a person, and that can also make a person rebellious. especially children, so we need to be very careful with regards that. Allow him to retain his honor and make him feel that he is valued, even if he makes mistakes. Do you know why? Well, because the objective here is to correct the error and not to take revenge or dishonor him. Meaning, our respected listeners, to say it plainly, no one likes to be ordered around. You don't like to be ordered around. I don't like to be ordered around. So why do we want to order around other people? We need to be, you know, take cognizance of that. Now let's look at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's approach with regards advising. One day, he decided to advise Abdullah bin Umar to pray the night prayers. But he didn't just go to him and call him and say, "Oh Abdullah, start praying the night prayers." No. Rather, he advised him as if he was making a suggestion. And he said, you know, first he praised him. He said, "How nice is Abdullah. If only he were to pray the night prayers also. So you would be even better. You are so nice. But if you can pray your night prayers, you would be even better." I think this is something that we need to try and use with our children. And, you know, sometimes they don't read their salah, and the first thing we do is start shouting and screaming at them and, you know, ready to give them a spanking. I know at some stage you do have to do it, but try all the best ways of first getting them to start reading the salah. Praise them, make them feel worthy, make them feel the importance of praying, and, you know, make them, we need to do it so gently, but also at the same time try them to make them get to do it. There's also another narration with regards this one example that I've given you, and they said, "Oh Abdullah, do not be low." He said, instead of, you know, he said, "Oh Abdullah, do not be like so and so. He used to pray at night, but then he left it." Also, to get him to continue reading Salah, he used to tell him about, you know, just give him an example of a certain person that used to do it, but he left it, so you should not do that as well. Now, in fact, you are able to bring his mistake to his attention, number one, without him realizing it, and this is the best approach, of course. A man sneezed in the company of Abdullah bin al-Mubarak, and he did not say Alhamdulillah when we spoke about it earlier. So, to get him to say this, Abdullah bin Abdul Mubarak said, "What does a person say when he sneezes?" So he questioned him. Just for him to do it, he instead asked him, you know, "What do you do?" It's like when for our children, ourselves too, if we want them to start reading their du'as. So instead of telling him, "Read your du'as, you have to read your du'as," ask them, you know, "What is that dua that you have to read again when you come out of the toilet, or before you start eating, or after you're eating?" And in this way, we are helping them to remember their duas, and also at the same time, we are advising them correctly and teaching them in the right way. So, well, in this case, Abdullah said, "Alhamdulillah." That means, like we said earlier, praise be to Allah. So Abdullah bin al-Mubarak said, "Yarhamukallah." So he answered him. He first wanted him to say it, because he didn't say it. He wanted him to say it, and he asked him, "What do you say when you sneeze?" And that reminded the person that, "Oh, I didn't say that." So he said it. And then immediately Abdullah bin al-Mubarak answered him back, and he said, "May Allah have mercy on you." The Prophet ﷺ had a similar approach. When he would conclude his Asr prayer, he would visit his wives one by one to sit and to talk to them. So one day he visited Zainab bint Jash, and he found honey at her place. So the Prophet ﷺ, obviously he used to love honey and anything, he used to like sweet things as well. So he began to have some of the honey and he started talking to her, and he ended up staying a little longer than he would have, you know, that he was supposed to be staying with any of the other wives. So he stayed a little longer with her. Now, of course, jealousy took over once upon, like we all women do. Aisha radiallahu anhu and Hafsa radiallahu anha, sorry, they became jealous, and then they planned that whoever of the two the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visits first should say, "I find that you smell of mughafir." Now, mughafir is actually a sweet drink, and it is similar to honey, but it has an unpleasant smell. Now, just look at that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always concerned that his body and his mouth did not smell bad at all, as he used to speak with the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, and of course he used to also speak to people. So that was his concern, always to smell good, and his body should always be clean and smell good too. Now, when he visited Hafsa radiallahu anha, she asked him immediately what he had eaten, and he said, "I had some honey, and you know, and when I visited his wife Zainab radiallahu anha." So she immediately told him about the mukhafir smell that she could smell on him, and he said, "No, I only had some honey to drink, but I won't drink it again." Then he went to Aisha radiallahu anha, and she did the same thing to him. Obviously, days went by, and Allah finally revealed the secret to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After a few days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed Hafsa radiallahu anha of a matter in confidence, but then she, not really, betrayed his confidentiality. In other words, she told somebody else about it. He visited her one day while she had a guest known as Ashifa. Now, of course, he didn't immediately rebuke her or tell her anything about it. But he visited her one day while she had a guest known as Ashifa bint Abdullah. And she was actually a female companion. She was also like a medical student who used to treat patients. The Prophet ﷺ wanted to bring her attention to her mistake by approaching the issue indirectly. So he wanted to bring it to her attention. But of course he did it indirectly. And what did he do? He said to Ashifa, "Wouldn't you teach her the incantations of the ants the way you taught her to write?" So the incantations of the ants is what Arab women used to repeat, and everyone knew that it neither harms nor it nor benefits, right? And what was the incantation? It was obviously known amongst the women, and this is what it actually was. It used to be, this is what they used to say, that the bride celebrates, dies, applies coal, and does everything else, except that she does not disobey her husband. Right, so the Prophet ﷺ wanted to indirectly teach Hafsa a lesson by repeating, those words, except that she does not disobey her husband. And when they said that, obviously she picked up her mistake, and she realized that Rasulullah ﷺ knew that she had betrayed his confidentiality. Now, how beautiful is this approach towards correcting others' mistake that leaves love intact in people's heart, unshaken by errors and unpolluted by excessive offers of advice. So he didn't hurt her feelings, or he didn't scold at her or shout at her, but he just very politely, very tenderly brought it to her notice that you have actually betrayed my confidentiality, but remember that you must not do it in the future. Another example is of a man that borrowed a book from one of the early predecessors, and when he returned the book after a few days, it had food stains on it. Now, many a times we do that too, and actually it's not a good habit. We should always return things to people in the condition that they had given it to us. Now, it looked, it had some stains on it, and it looked as if he had used the book to carry bread and grapes on it. So it had some grape stains and, some bread or something, some oily stains or the other. Well, the owner of the book didn't say anything when the book was returned to him, but after a few days, the same man came to him, and once again he wanted to borrow another book, and this time the owner gave him the book in a plate. Now look at what he did. He gave the person back the book, but this time he gave him in a plate. So the man said, "I only want the book, I don't want the plate." So the man replied to him, the owner said, Well, the book is for you to read and the plate is for you to carry the food in. In other words, next time don't put food on my books. Instead, put it on a plate. So he in a very nice, indirect way, told the person what he wanted to tell him. But he didn't, he wasn't rude to him. He didn't scold him. He just indirectly gave him the message. So he took the book and he went, and obviously he had learned a lesson. Then another example. A person who used to go home late at night and take his shirt off, I think this is important for many of our women here, hang it on the wall and he would go to sleep. And his wife would then come in, open up his wallet and take out all the change. Don't we all do that? Always taking the change, without really asking, and we just think, take it for granted that it's fine, we can take and use his change. Okay, so when the man woke up in the morning, he went to work, and when he wanted to pay the grocer for something, he couldn't find his change. He would be left, obviously, it was surprising, but he thought about it a little and he realized what could have happened. Anyway, so one day he returned home, he had placed a frog in his pocket. Now, this is how he wanted to get the message across to his wife. He didn't go home and start fighting and shouting at her and calling her names and telling accuser of stealing and things like that. So he returned home and instead he put a little frog in his, not I don't know how big, but obviously a frog in his pocket. He took his shirt off as usual and he lay down on the bed as if he was asleep, and he pretended to snore whilst obviously at the same time paying attention to what had happened to the shirt. Now, his wife, obviously, as normal, came in to take whatever she could, as usual, and she turned to the shirt very slowly, entered her hand in the pocket, and instead she touched the frog, obviously. When the frog suddenly moved, she screamed, and she said, "Oh, my hand!" And the husband opened his eyes, and he screamed, "Oh, my pocket!" Now, so immediately she understood what had happened and what she had done, and he had given her a message that, like, next time don't just take things from my pocket, just ask for it. I'm not going to say no, obviously, but ask for the thing that you want from my pocket. Now, if only we applied the same tactics with everyone, including our children and our students when they make mistakes. Okay, there's so many more examples that I can give you, alhamdulillah. But basically, it's very important where our children are concerned also, that we, maybe I can just share this one with the example with you. I think it's important for us to know how to deal with our children. And this is what happens. There was this young little girl. She had a very pious mother. She never used to like having pictures around the house because, as we all know, angels do not enter the house in which there are dogs or animals or pictures of animals and people. So she had a young daughter who used to have all sorts of little toys except a doll, and her mother used to forbid her from buying dolls but allow her to buy anything else. And a maternal aunt came there one day and gave her a doll and told her, play with this doll in your room, but please don't let your mummy know about it or see it. But after a couple of days, the mother obviously found out, so she decided to give advice in an appropriate manner. And, this is what she did. When she sat at the dinner table, the mummy of this young girl then said to her, "Dear children, for a couple of days I feel that there have been no angels in the house. I have no idea why they have left. There is neither might, obviously. So what happened is," this is how she said, "there's something, I feel that there's no angels in the house and I wonder what could have happened." So this young girl listened quietly, and then after dinner, the young girl returned to her room, found the doll among so many toys, picked up the doll and brought it to her mother, and she said to her mummy, "This is what caused the angels to leave. You may do with it as you please." So, the daughter understood. She didn't feel hurt. The mummy didn't just take the doll and throw it away. She didn't scold the auntie that gave it to her. but alhamdulillah, the daughter understood. So yes, basically that's what this program is all about, is even a good word is charity. It's a hadith actually, and so we need to always try and explain to our to the person when they do make mistakes, when we do give advice, always remember to give them good advice and do it in the right way, not hurting the person's feeling. Well, that's all I have for you today. Inshallah, it's already time up for the program to end. But jazakallahu khair for listening, and I hope this will benefit you in some way. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.